Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. And let's start off by making this a weird kids show spinoff. Because we found out what Bray Wyatt's new...
Yes, there's obviously one thing to talk about this week.
Well, I mean, that's like the one thing that seems to stick out the most just from the, like, from just the weirdness of it. Which, again, it's Bray Wyatt, so... You shouldn't be too surprised. Like, basically, like, his character has always been something to creep you out.
Okay.
In the past. And I feel like this potentially could be, like, just another version of that.
Okay.
Or it could just, I don't know. Like, it's almost like I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop kind of thing.
I think this is a very good move. I really, I mean, we're one segment in, but like I really enjoyed that. I thought that was a really good.
Yeah, I'm not knocking it one way or the other. I'm just saying like this is just like a different kind of creepy that the Bray Wyatt character is kind of tilted into.
Well, and part of the reason I think it's working and I'm so willing to kind of jump to defend it right off the bat is this feeling of like I don't know where it's going with this.
Right. And anytime you can do that in wrestling to anybody.
Right, right.
Is saying something.
You know, I've been watching this for, you know, years of my life. On top of the fact that, like, not just watching this, but, like, I've gone back and watched a bunch of stuff before. Like, I've seen the 8 stories that you can tell.
Yeah.
And so, and there's so many things where, you know, you'll see something somebody will, you know, challenge for a title. And I'll sit there and be like, okay, this is my fantasy booking. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then I'll tell you, and you'll be like, oh, I think they could do da-da-da-da. I'll be like, but no, I don't like that. I like mine better.
Right.
I mean, and that's not a me and you. That's a everybody. Like,
sure.
And then you have this problem. It's the same thing. It's like, oh, if Kairi Sane and Asuka don't split up at SummerSlam and then are feuding for the title by Mania, like, you did it wrong.
Right.
Like, I have my answer now.
Yeah.
And with this Bray Wyatt thing, like, I have my, like, oh, I wonder if they're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also read a lot of people's very different, I wonder if they're doing this. And with this one, with this particular case, I'm like, that's interesting. They could go that way.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, so the basic setup is he pops out as this, like, Mr. Rogers Pee Wee Herman character.
Right.
But it's not... necessarily a character revamp. It's not, you know, Biker Taker where he's just like, I'm on a bike now and ignore the fact that I was ever, you know, a zombie wizard.
Yeah. It's more of like, I know who I used to be and I, you know, suffered for it and now I'm this person kind of.
Yeah. So he's fully acknowledging the history of Bray Wyatt. And while he's saying, like, that's not me anymore. There's still some very weird, like, yeah, but I don't know kind of things.
Yeah.
Like, he still has this, like, creepy thing, and it's, there's, it's that really standard horror trope where it's, like, pleasant stuff, and then, like, something terrifying is trying to, like, break through the reality.
Right, yeah.
So they're doing that, but there's a ton of things where, like, you know, he's got this buzzard puppet, and, like, Bray Wyatt was always big on buzzards.
Right, and a, Abby puppet, for, you know, Sister Abigail. There's still apparently in the cartoon logo there is a rabbit. We haven't seen the rabbit.
Don't know what the rabbit is.
And they're trying to hold on to Luke Harper.
Yeah.
So you never know.
But and so that's the thing is like, and people are interested in this enough to predict what it could be.
Right.
And that's this weird dichotomy that I don't see a lot on Twitter and on blog forums. Usually they'll announce something and just to keep the same example, they'll announce like, hey, Kairi Sane and Asuka are teaming up. They're a tag team now.
Right.
And all the blogs like, oh, here's what they should do with that.
Yeah.
You know, they should do it. They should get the title. They should lose them here. They should get screwed over here and they should do it. But I'm seeing a lot of people post about this Bray Wyatt thing going, oh, they could do this with that.
Yeah.
And
but they don't really know because this is kind of a...
Right, but just
different thing.
Looking at it as a they should do this versus they could do this, I feel like personally, and I feel like this just kind of looking around, people are much more open to see where this goes.
Right.
And however much they want to, you know, bring stuff in or leave stuff out. And people are already throwing up these backstories of like, okay, he, you know, he was last seen with the Deleter of Worlds stuff.
Yeah.
He was thrown into the Lake of Reincarnation.
Yeah. Maybe he just took it a while.
It's like, is he being reincarnated? Is this the reincarnation? Yeah. There's like some guy went and dug back into like old Bray Wyatt Twitter things. And there's like this Twitter thread where that implied that he was like an unwilling patient at some sort of hospital. And they're like, oh, is that, you know,
right,
somehow tying into this, like, I'm all better character?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And not, above all else, I'm interested to see how this kind of relays back into the ring.
Yeah.
You know, how is this going to affect his ring work? And also, like, you know, we didn't really get that good of a look, but the dude looked like he's gotten in some pretty good shape.
Yeah.
Which apparently is the thing going around. Like, some time off means guys
doing push-ups.
Yeah, getting in ridiculous shape. So yeah, there's just a wide variety of ways they can go with this, and everyone seems to be kind of hanging on pins and needles to see what they do with it.
And one thing that I think is really nice about it, mm-hmm, is we had weird creepy vignette last week,
yeah,
on Raw, weird creepy vignette last week on SmackDown,
yeah,
and then here's Bray Wyatt, Firefly, yeah, Funhouse.
I'm glad that they didn't elongate that.
Yeah.
You know, because basically we got essentially 2 weeks of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm glad they went ahead and pulled the trigger.
Well, I think,
especially if the vignettes weren't going to change at all.
Right.
If they were just going to kind of stay the same, just the same puppet popping out of the same box, then yeah. Now, if they were going to change it up, you know, do that, the slow reveal of more and more clues of who it might be or whatever, even though we knew from
we knew it was Bray Wyatt, yeah, at the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's, there's this, you know, right and wrong way of doing vignettes. And that's evolved over time. And for a long time, I think you vignetted a guy for weeks leading up to it because people didn't see it every week, you know. That's just kind of how this TV landscape was going. And so you wanted everybody to be hyped for Wrestler X is arriving,
yeah,
in 4 weeks and 3 weeks and 2 weeks, you know, kind of countdown thing. Nowadays, that's just not the case. You vignette something on Raw, then it's immediately on the internet. WWE themselves is posting it onto YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't watch Raw live. I watched it the next night on Hulu, as per my usual schedule allows. But I'd already seen that vignette because it was everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, Tuesday morning.
It was impossible to miss.
And so, mm-hmm, I'm trying to think, like, I remember Del Rio taking forever to debut.
Yeah.
The Emelina thing is another great example of, like, elongated
months,
vignettes,
yeah,
killed the entire character.
Yeah.
Just as, like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah. And I even, you know, even with, like, R-Truth when he first came back, I guess, as R-Truth, just a lot of vignettes, a lot of, like, stuff leading up to it. And, like, if done right, those vignettes can make someone really feel like a big deal. But if you overstay your welcome, then, like, with Emelina, like, they're just ready for it to end and move on. You,
yeah,
know? And so I'm glad that they didn't wait too much longer than what they did.
No, I mean, and now you have something that is the big talk,
yeah,
of the week with this, you know, you're going ahead. And that's the thing, is like, especially if you're still not debuting him in the ring. And I'm not, I mean, I'm happy and excited to see him in the ring, but like what I'm looking forward to on Raw next week is another Firefly Funhouse video.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if you are, you know, going to be doing that for a couple of weeks before he actually physically shows up in the ring, yeah, don't do more than 1 week worth of, you know, mystery things. So I think this is a really good opportunity to do something with this character.
Yeah, I mean, I'll agree. So beyond that, and this Well, I guess we probably should have led off with this. But finally, we get our long wish, the one thing that we've been hoping for years now, is CM Punk has returned to the ring.
Yeah, so this this happened last week.
Yeah.
And like I thought about bringing it up last week and was like, that's just...
I honestly completely forgot about it last week.
Well, I didn't think it was real. I thought it was like over-the-top speculation.
I was very, very skeptical until like we had confirmation.
Yeah, and
from several people.
Yeah, so if you haven't heard about this, there was... I don't even remember where the show was.
I don't remember either.
It was some local show.
Yeah.
Basically they, and there was a feud and then there was a run in by a masked man who came and, you know, I think hit the winner. I don't even remember.
And he came out and hit a GTS.
Yeah. Masked man hit the GTS and ran off, and it's been pretty much confirmed. I mean, it's not been confirmed, but it has been nudge, nudge, wink, winked to death that this was CM Punk doing this. CM Punk was there. I think he's doing a signing.
It was confirmed, I think, by the booker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he was there, and he was friends backstage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and CM Punk said, I think it was like, around the, right after the Art of Wrestling podcast, where he said, like, if he ever did return, it wouldn't be a big deal. It would probably be a surprise appearance at some indie show.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, you called it.
Yeah, and he... And apparently,
2014 CM Punk.
And apparently, this wasn't the first time he had done it. It was just the first time we caught
him. Yeah,
yeah. There was another wrestler that said like this was at least the third or fourth time he's done it in the last few years. You know, and it gives me hope that one day he'll find the fun in wrestling again. You know, because and maybe like. Doing a one-off match at a giant, huge show isn't the way to kind of get back in there.
Right.
Stuff like this, just one-off, like, guy comes in to attack the other guy, and he's completely masked and really has no bearing into the overall storyline or whatever. Just something quick and fun, something kind of dip his toe into. Maybe that's the way to get him back in, at least involved.
Right.
It doesn't have to be, like, an active, like... grinding, you know, the indie scene type of wrestler.
I mean, part of this is kind of like a I'm happy he's happy kind of thing.
Sure, yeah.
As much as, you know, I have this selfish desire of like, no, I want to see him. I'm losing valuable CM Punk is healthy enough to wrestle time every second.
Yeah.
And we're missing out on amazing matches, and I have that selfish drive to see him back. Part of it is just this really kind of sad thing to watch a guy have this one true, strong, undying passion die.
Yeah.
And just to be able to see, like, this guy had this passion beyond belief for this specific thing and just watch
and
it get killed.
That's what felt good about all this. He's like, you know, hearing him interview after interview, I have to answer that question about, like, wrestling and how much he's just, you know, grown to just be weary of it or almost despise it, you know?
Yeah.
But to see him do stuff like this, he also made a post on Instagram about a week ago because I think it was Eddie Guerrero's birthday or the anniversary of his passing. I don't remember exactly which. But he made a post about like the infamous like indie show where it was a triple threat match between him, Eddie Guerrero, who had like just gotten fired from WWE, and Rey Mysterio. Like,
yeah.
That's a pretty huge indie match just on paper. And then the match itself, like, completely delivered. And I believe that was the only time that he had been in the ring with Eddie.
Maybe.
But, like, the post, and he put, like, a long, long, like, paragraph of exactly what Eddie meant to him and, like, all this, these great things and made you think, like, this guy still loves it in some fashion. You know,
which is good, which
because
is,
that was him posting it on his own. No one asked him a question. No one like, oh, what was your favorite match outside of WWE or anything like that. Like this was on his own, just throwing his feelings out there about wrestling and Eddie Guerrero.
Well, and you know, there's been kind of this part of watching Kofi Kingston on the rise these past several months, and I think it was a interview several years ago where somebody's like, oh, do you still watch it? And he's like, no, not really. It's WWE and I don't really care for it. Mm-hmm. But he mentioned, like, I watch Kofi stuff, like, because he was road buddies with Kofi for a long, long time.
So you know he had to have seen some of this, or at least, like, keeping little tabs on it, not necessarily right. watching everything. But.
And so, like, I'm in this weird thing where, like, I don't want people to, you know, ask him, you know, hey, have you seen Kofi? What do you think of Kofi? Partially because, like, I'm sure he doesn't, you know, want to talk about WWE any more than he does. Mm-hmm. And B, that's not really the story of Kofi, of what does CM Punk think about this. Like, the story of Kofi is its own crazy, incredible thing.
His own merit, his own accomplishment, yeah.
And so, but there is this, like, I wonder if that pulls any heartstrings, if that, you know, touches any nerves. But we were talking off mic on the thread with the Trashy Boys maybe a week ago or so about CM Punk and about, you know, what you talk about. I was like, is he ever going to come back? No, but we talk about how he is, you know, trying, he's doing stuff. He is, you know, young, like it's because wrestlers retire so early.
Right.
Like, he has so much of his life left. And what does he do? What does he want to do with that? He's obviously, he's done, you know, he's written some comics. He's been on some, like, podcasts and stuff, just kind of being a famous person, right. a Walking Dead enthusiast. And so, but he clearly has this level of passion for combat sports. No matter what you say about the UFC, you know, things, whether he should have been there or not, he, you know, clearly loves the idea of it and is invested in wanting to be something in that realm.
Right.
To be able to go up, get knocked out, and go right back to it. And I think you brought up that he was in a jiu-jitsu competition.
Yeah. Like a real amateur, like, tournament kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where he, you know, in his weight class, he finished third out of three.
Right. And part of what's, you know, really kind of a bummer about that is he did, there was no publicity. Like, he was on UFC pay-per-views twice.
Yeah.
But, like, there was no announcement of this. I don't even think he entered as, I think he entered as Phil Brooks.
Yeah.
Like, he is not trying, he's doing this out of sheer just love for the idea of combat sports.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a shame that, you know, he does this and somebody gets to pluck out up a meeting and be like, CM Punk, third out of three. You know, haha, CM Punk should never have left wrestling, can't fight for real. And I'm like, he's a dude that's just trying to,
he's just trying to enjoy it. Like, you know, like, that's, you know, it would have been fun. I'm sure he would have loved if he finished first or whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
But
that's what you go to competitions to do. But there is a huge difference between going on a UFC pay-per-view, coming out to Cult of Personality still, being billed as CM Punk because that's your
and having this
name.
Whole big build-up leading to it.
Yeah, having the, like,
trying to get as many
part documentary.
Eyes, yeah, trying to get as many eyes on the fight as possible. Where in this, we don't even hear about it until after the fact.
Right. I mean, that's, that's just there's a huge difference in that. And so that leads credence to, I mean, there was this big kind of, you know, roar when CM Punk lost as badly as he did in that first UFC fight.
Yeah.
It was like, never should have been there. And I'm like, okay, there's a valid argument for that. CM Punk did not take the traditional route to UFC fighter.
Yeah.
CM Punk's first match probably shouldn't have been on a pay-per-view. That's not traditionally how it works.
No.
But this idea of he's just doing this for the publicity, he's immediately going to the biggest fighting show in the world on the biggest stage that he can do it.
Yeah.
Kind of hits a snag when he's also, as anonymously as he can, entering this, you know, jiu-jitsu tournament over here, or judo or whatever it was.
Jiu-jitsu, yeah.
So, but that being said, like, I seeing stuff like that, like, just, I just want to do this tournament. I want to try this out. And just doing this, like, I'm going to run in, mask on, run in. And the fact that this isn't a one-off thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a scheduled thing. And, you know, I don't think you can start setting your watch to indie shows so that you can try and catch a CM Punk sighting.
Right.
But I do like the fact that he is still doing stuff for fun.
Yeah, for himself, yeah.
Yeah. And so, and, like, maybe the bug will bite, maybe it won't.
Yeah. But at least this is kind of proof that he's just doing stuff because it's what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's fine. I'm all for, you know, personal enjoyment. It's just the selfishness of me and the rest of the fans were like,
oh, absolutely.
Maybe this will lead to something. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. But I think, you know, there is a very good chance that the something that it leads to will be something in a tiny ring, you know, in the back corner of nowhere that nobody, there's going to be some fans that get the unexpected thrill of a lifetime. And that's much more likely than AEW just finally putting enough zeros on a check to get him to come back.
Yeah. So moving on, I guess we should, we should probably just dedicate a segment to this, and that's just like the mass exodus of WWE, or the desired exodus, I should say.
Yes.
So let's go with the ones that we've touched on previously and kind of give an update of where they are. Let's see. Alexander Wolf from Sanity wanted his release, or at least that's what he said it, stated on Twitter, and now he's on NXT UK forming another faction.
Yeah.
With Fabian Aichner, the guy that he had recently been tagging with, the German guy, and Walter. You know, so like that,
right?
You know, he just leaves one faction for another, kind of using social media as kind of a way to throw people off, I guess. Let's see, Luke Harper, he's still at home, not granted his release.
No,
and the latest snag on that is that we're hearing WWE is freezing his contract because he was out for so long with an injury.
And so he's getting months.
So he's
on
getting
the
Rey Mysterio treatment. And Sasha's still waiting. No word on if she's, you know, if they've gained any ground on trying to convince her to stay or whatever. We had Dean Malenko. He resigned as producer.
Yeah. So there's conflicting reports, I think even still now as of this recording, of whether he left or was fired.
Right. Either way, that's a huge loss for WWE. When it comes to being a producer, like the guy was a giant influencer on the in-ring product and just overall relationship with the wrestlers. Like this makes things a lot more difficult for WWE, in my opinion. And of course, the natural thing that you want to do anytime anyone is let go or quit or whatever from WWE, you know, the first thing you want to do is like, well, they should go to AEW. And sometimes, yeah, that's the case. Sometimes it's not the case. But this is absolutely the case where they should pick up Dean Malenko as a producer because, you know, they would have so much to gain from that.
Well, I mean, the other big thing is Goldust has left WWE. Goldust has been announced to be Cody's...
Dustin Rhodes.
Sorry, you're right.
Because the Goldust character has been...
Is a WWE character.
And has been laid to rest, retired, or however you want to phrase it.
Yes.
So, at Double or Nothing, it will be Cody versus Dustin Rhodes.
Yes.
I think is fantastic. It's interesting.
Well, and I don't know what AEW's agreement with Dustin Rhodes is, but that guy was one of the biggest, you know, gets for the backstage at WWE. He's one of the biggest unsung heroes.
Yeah.
And like as he was leaving, there was just like videos coming out of the woodwork of him working with people.
You think of a lot of the main roster guys that had been there, I think, you know, that just missed NXT. Like they went through FCW right just before the transition. He was their main producer on SmackDown.
Yeah.
He was not in the ring anymore. He was just a producer. It was around the time, I want to say it was around the time Cody had the Intercontinental Championship with the mask and everything.
Oh, yeah, the dashing things.
Yeah. It was around that time when he was the main producer for SmackDown.
Yeah.
So you think about, you know, that's essentially your coach,
you
know, for all these guys for so long. So he has a special connection along with being, you know, one of the boys, one of the active members of the roster. So, yeah, I may not be a big impact on the current product on screen, Right. But for the overall backstage morale, overall backstage.
Well, one of the biggest
just
things
in general, I think
one of the things I'm thinking is like, I don't know if he's just going to AEW to do this match that we never got in WWE.
Sure.
Or is he going to have some involvement in backstage in working with wrestlers in building the product?
Again, he's a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah.
That I feel like they could really afford to tap into. Same with Dean Malenko.
And it really feels like so much of that just comes from genuine love of the product, wanting it to be good. And so, like, I get the impression, just from whatever I said, just being able to, because obviously, like I said, cameras are rolling everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
Just kind of getting to be that fly on the wall. He's so invested in everybody being as good as possible in the ring.
Yeah.
At all times.
Yeah.
And so I just think that if he is backstage at AEW, even if he's just like, I'm just here to wrestle Cody and get that match that we never got.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's going to be able to help himself.
No.
Like, he's going to have thoughts. He's going to have ideas. He's going to, like, you know, just a little bit of do this. Or that. And I think it'll be, that will be, I try really hard not to be like, here's my predictions for AEW.
Yeah.
Because we still don't know what the show is. We don't know how long the show is. We don't know what network is on. We don't really know anything. We have no
concept. Above all else, we don't know what exactly they're going for.
Right.
As far as what they're looking for with the roster that they're building. Are they going to stick with, you know, because like, aside from like a core group of well-known individuals, aside from that, it's a lot of guys that a lot, like the mainstream wrestling fans have never heard of. Which is a smart thing if you build it correctly.
Right. And we've basically been framing AEW as like the coming savior to wrestling because it's going to, you know, reignite the Monday Night Wars. But you also have to remember that the most famous people, the ones that are at the top of the card, are also going to be the bookers of this show. And like, you saw how that happened with Hogan.
Right.
Four times in his career,
Hogan,
basically.
You saw it with Nash, you saw it with all these guys in WCW, like a blueprint too many cooks situation.
Oh yeah, that's credited as one of the biggest downfalls of WCW. That's credited as one of the biggest downfalls of the golden age of TNA.
Yeah.
Honestly,
too many leaders, not enough followers, essentially.
Yeah. Well, and the biggest, well, just the people who are able to book their own careers and always book themselves to be victories. The same criticism is thrown against Triple H of, you know, and the entire creative team. Mr. McMahon was champion.
Yeah.
Like, Mr. McMahon has won a Royal Rumble and been WWE and ECW champion.
Yeah.
And so you can argue, like, WWE only got away with self-booking of success because there was nothing to go up against.
Yeah.
So, while I do have a lot of faith in these guys, I am very interested to see what AEW is, what it does.
They're just walking down a potentially dangerous path.
Right, we are opening the doors with all the pieces set up for that, oh, hey, all the main guys are also in charge of booking their own matches, and they're the names, okay? Like, I've seen this storybook before.
Yeah. And while we're on the topic of AEW, Conrad Thompson has kind of found himself in a little bit of pickle with StarCast too. He had booked, you know, Conrad Thompson, if people don't know the name, he's a host of a wide variety of wrestling podcasts. He is a so-so commentator when it came to that, that the ticket announce party or whatever that they had in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And he's all, but the I think his main strength is he's the one who organized StarCast last time. Like, it was all mostly him.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, I believe he's running StarCast too. But he went, like, he gave an interview today, or not today, this week, because their biggest StarCast gets guests to do signings and stuff was Undertaker and Kurt Angle. Spent a lot of money to get them. But has since those two, and since those two guys have signed new exclusive deals to WWE and have had to pull out. And so Conrad Thompson is basically pleading with WWE, like, fine, send us somebody else to take their place, somebody of significance. And they're like, well, it can't be anyone of, you know, people with current deals. And he's like, fine, give me Shawn Michaels. Give me Vince McMahon. I mean, that's that takes some cojones. But, you know, they're running into this deal where, like, they had a contract. You know, they had paid this money to these guys to make appearances. Or at least agreed on a payment. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, so this is... It's weird to me that this is a whole thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, the my understanding of it, and that's the thing, is, like, again, if I am not understanding how the deal works, feel free to correct me on this. But my understanding is, like, he had a deal with Kurt Angle and Undertaker, Mark Calloway,
yeah,
of, like, you are going to come and appear here.
Yeah.
And now WWE is saying they can't do it.
Yeah.
So he either has an agreement with WWE or with these two wrestlers separately. And yeah, so they're either reneging on that.
Well, or that was the thing. Like, at the time, neither guy was actively with a contract with WWE.
Right. So they've now signed two conflicting contracts.
Right.
There, so, I mean, that's a thing that happens, and
yeah,
lawyers figure that out.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's not the most uncommon thing in the business world, is person A has a contract that conflicts with person B's contract.
Yeah.
And somebody has to figure out the timeline and who signed a contract they shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And so that's going to happen or it's not.
Yeah.
I definitely feel like he's kind of dragging this out into the light, to kind of, like, we're going to make this public, and I'm going to be the good guy and you're going to be the bad guy.
Kind of winning public opinion, because, you know, if it comes down to a legal battle, he can't go punch for punch
WWE,
with WWE.
And so I think he's kind of banking on the, like, publicity to shrink them away. Which, like, yeah, but I feel like we all know that WWE's terrible.
Yeah.
They're a terrible monster business, and that's why, you know, you're like, oh, maybe I'll get to support AEW or literally anybody.
Yeah.
Because,
you know, WWE, like, offer those contracts only because those guys were showing up at not even Double or Nothing, just StarCast, just,
yeah,
doing a fan signing where they're going to make a ton of money, you know? So you know that WWE's just throwing money at them comparable to what they were going to make, or else those guys wouldn't have signed it.
Yeah. So, like, it's not a thing where WWE is not letting them go, and they're like, oh, well, if you give me Shawn Michaels or Vince, it'll be fine. Like, that's...
Yeah.
It's not really... It's showmanship, and the whole thing is carny showmanship. Like, I get that. That's...
Yeah.
You know, sure, keep doing what you're doing. This is the business.
Yeah.
But I do think this kind of amounts to nothing. And, like, you know, I've seen some people like, look how hard this guy is working for the fans. And I'm like, all right, well, it's working. Like,
again,
you got that guy. Good for you.
Yeah, and you would think, with as willing as WWE is to appease the Flair family, and this guy, don't forget, is the son-in-law of Ric Flair now. He married one of Ric's other daughters. I don't know if they've gotten married officially yet, or they're at least engaged. You would think WWE would be like, all right, let's work something out. You know, because, like, and that's another thing. Like, they are not the only WWE legends / Hall of Famers that's showing up at StarCast. There's a whole slew of them, but these are the ones that WWE are like, all right, well, here's active or updated contracts for these guys. And, like, there was plenty of them at the first StarCast, you know? And again, it's not even appearing on the wrestling show. It's just to do fan signings.
Well, Undertaker has shown that at the end of the day, the bigger paycheck sends him, you know, places. And, like, that's not necessarily fair to Undertaker, because, like, whatever these Saudi things, like, I'll be driving down the road to work, you know, and it'll just kind of, like, re-hit me and be like, how much money was it that got Shawn Michaels to come back?
Yeah.
Like, they weren't asking him to come back to face AJ Styles for, you know, two shiny nickels. Like,
right. Which I feel like that was something he was entertaining the thought of, ultimately decided against on, but I'm pretty sure for a fraction of what he probably made at Saudi Arabia.
Oh, yeah.
So it had to be a lot of money to have him come back for a tag team match that meant nothing.
Well, and, you know, there has been this, you know, you've seen a few people be like, oh, well, Saudi Arabia is the new WrestleMania because Undertaker doesn't show up for WrestleMania anymore. He shows up for Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Which is like, yeah, but he also wrestles very small, very safe Undertaker match. He just does greatest hits.
Yeah.
Against some heel. Yeah. Like, it'll, you know, Rusev and Elias, he's got this kind of like greatest hits against the mid-card. It's probably a thrill of a lifetime. I mean, oh my goodness, I would love to go and get Tombstone. Like, just sure. Walk up and be like, just Tombstone me. Like, see what yeah. happens. That would be amazing. So I can only imagine how Rusev and, you know, Elias are feeling about this.
Yeah.
But when you do this stuff like that, and I don't know how much money StarCast was saying. There was some numbers floating around, but they were conflicting with each other. But the numbers were floating around to say, like, it's a lot of money just for a signing.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if WWE is saying, like, here's more money.
Yeah.
Don't
I
do
believe,
that.
One, because Undertaker had started taking independent bookings to do signings.
Yeah.
The general consensus of what was kind of discussed was that just to be there,
mm-hmm.
Undertaker would be paid $60,000. Just to be there. On top of, you know, because the fans would have to pay for, you know, this much for an autograph, this much for an autograph plus a photo or mm-hmm. something like that. And so this deal or this new contract that WWE gave him was essentially, hey, please do not have any more of these signings.
Yeah.
So, again, the guy was going to make bank just being there. On top of, you understand there would be a massive line
mm-hmm.
to get an autograph and picture with The Undertaker. So the compensation would have had to have been pretty monumental, you know?
I mean, again, like, I don't know. This is... There is some actual, real, legal contract stuff going back and forth, and then there is this extra level of, you know, carny showmanship.
Yeah.
Of, hey, this is what's going on. And so I don't know where those lines cross.
Yeah.
Real quick, I do want to bring up a statistic.
Okay.
That kind of got batted around earlier today. Man, so we're recording one day after we usually do. Wrestling feels so far away.
It does. And kudos to you for like finding something on the internet, because both Joel and I are essentially avoiding the internet because we hadn't seen Avengers Endgame yet.
Yes.
So, I mean, because... You could have found anything on Reddit today, and I would believe you because I've just stayed
on. No, absolutely. Yeah. Good call.
Every click has been very cautious today.
So, this is a statistic that there are 59 male wrestlers with 2+ full years on the main roster.
Okay.
And I'm taking this guy's word for it, but like that seems about right.
Yeah.
51 of those 59%, 86.4%, have held a title, either, you know, Intercontinental, United States, Tag Team,
right.
whatever.
Some sort of championship, yeah.
But basically, the only people to have never held a title and wrestled full-time for 2 more years, Sami Zayn, Tyler Breeze, Fandango, Mojo Rawley, Sin Cara, Aiden English, and The Ascension. And Mojo Rawley won an Andre the Giant.
Right, and Sami Zayn did win the NXT Championship.
Yes.
But obviously, you know.
Right, but he's not.
WWE obviously doesn't count for NXT for anything.
So, but looking at this statistic,
yeah,
it kind of there's this feeling that I've kind of pushed aside of like, oh, everybody gets a trophy, and you know, once everybody's special, nobody's special,
right?
Kind of thing. And I don't want to be like this grumpy, like, oh, everybody gets a trophy, what society thing? But it's hard to get excited about the Intercontinental title,
yeah.
It's really hard to get excited about the United States title mm-hmm. when... Who's the United States champion right now? It's Samoa Joe. It's Samoa Joe. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, when I have that every time, and like my brain has like landed on R-Truth, so I have to be like, okay, the United States champion, R-Truth, and I'm like, okay, and I have to like count the steps to where it is now.
Right, and it's always hard to do with the U.S. championship. Now, like obviously with the Universal Championship, it's, okay, Brock... Seth.
Yeah.
The end. You know, but with United States Championship, you've got to really do mental gymnastics to kind of like, all right, well, it was here, then there, blah, 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 and then Samoa Joe. Like.
So, but if we are at this point where 51 out of 59 people who are on that roster have held a title, at what point is holding a title not a special thing?
Yeah.
At what point, I mean, and obviously the Universal title, the WWE title are bigger titles.
Yeah.
That's what you should be going for.
Yeah, the more exclusive thing, although, you know.
But we've had, in the past, you know, decade or so, we've had probably 6 to 10 people who have talked about, like, my goal is to bring back integrity to the Intercontinental title.
Right, yeah.
The Intercontinental title was a big deal.
Yeah.
All of these wrestlers grew up idolizing it, and you have had, you know, Daniel Bryan and Cody and this laundry list of people who have held that title and talked about, like, I'm going to be the one that makes this title a title again.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like the women's, they did the same thing for the women's, and it's not the same, but also, like, we're getting this women's tag team, you know? And so, like, Zack Ryder has won the Intercontinental title, is the current, tag team title.
He's also won a U.S. championship as well.
Kurt Hawkins is not on the list of having the famous losing streak of the series is not on the list of people who have never won a title.
Right.
And when you look at that list, they're not buried any worse or lauded any higher than these people. Sami Zayn is getting a ton of time on TV.
Yeah.
Sin Cara's, you know, a big merch seller. So it's not like these people who have won titles, that title has ended up meaning anything in the long run.
Yeah.
I don't know. It kind of struck me as, at what point, when we have this, we've talked about it before, there being 11 titles,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Between the two main shows.
Yeah.
And so, like, at what
it's
point?
Too much.
at what point is it not a real thing anymore?
Yeah.
You can
fill out an entire WrestleMania card with just the championship titles.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, especially if you, I kind of want, like, titles are nice in this sense that they are this kind of easy shortcut of, you have that title, I want that title,
yeah.
Now we have a reason to have a match.
Yeah.
And I have talked about one of the biggest banes of my existence is two guys having a match for no reason.
Yeah.
But at this point, I don't know if the United States title is a reason to have a match.
No, yeah.
Like, it. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of ways they could go. If they made some sort of story based around, I want that United States title because as a champion, I get this and that. There's like the championship bonus. You know, mm-hmm. You win a match as you know, you win a match, you win X dollars.
Right.
Some
you
sort
win of incentive,
a match,
yeah.
As a champion, you have X plus $200. It doesn't have to be some, but it has to be something.
Right.
There has to be some reason that being the champion is better than not being the champion.
No, absolutely.
And so, but I'm getting to this point where I'm like, I think the other feathers in the cap are better things. This person's a Royal Rumble winner. This person's a Money in the Bank winner.
Yeah.
Kind of things.
Yeah.
They make
it kind of feels like a more impressive resume.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
Yeah. Unless you're Baron Corbin, then it's just annoying.
There's ways you can screw it up too. And, sure. And one of those, honestly, is the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. And part of that is it was so quickly shuffled to the beginning, and nobody's gone on to great things because of it.
Nope.
Like, they made a big deal about Cesaro. But then after that, like, Big Show won it kind of just to be like, Big Show won the Andre, you know, yeah. Battle Royal. And so, like, Oh, see, that's how that works.
See, Braun Strowman won it. Was he even on Raw this week?
Yeah, wasn't he in the Triple Threats?
No, I don't think he was.
Didn't... That was this week, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, AJ Styles beat him because he won the first triple... He won the second Triple Threat.
That was Baron Corbin.
Who did you say, Braun Strowman?
Braun Strowman.
No, Braun Strowman was not on there.
But yeah, but he won, like, the most recent Andre.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Carmella won the women's, and they haven't done squat with her either.
No. And I... That's a shame, because having accolades is a good thing.
Yeah.
And
all it is at this point are two cheaply made trophies that look like they're made out of mustard.
Well, yeah, yeah. When people won King of the Ring, they got to be King whatever for a long time.
Yeah.
There's, you know, talk about Sheamus having to retire.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're like, well, Sheamus, you know, you kind of look at it back, you're like, where was I while Sheamus was having an amazing career?
Just based on the accolades.
Yeah, WWE Championship, Royal Rumble winner, King of the Ring winner.
Yeah.
Money in the Bank winner. It's like, what? He had everything.
Yeah, he checked off pretty much everything that this company has.
And, and it's a shame that I hated him for so long, because...
It is a Sheamus.
It's a shameful thing, lobster head.
Just when you thought you forgot. Yeah. So, speaking of Sheamus and the bar and everything, Cesaro got moved over to Raw,
mm-hmm.
essentially ending the bar, because technically Sheamus is still on SmackDown. Because I think, like, Sheamus this week said something like, see you on SmackDown, and he wasn't on SmackDown. He's still, like, his injury status is still up in the air. But just in general, like, they did more shuffling.
Yeah, so basically, the Superstar Shakeup means nothing because we're going to have to address everything in October anyway.
Yeah, and we're going to have to readdress stuff continuously between now and then.
Yeah, so there was...
So every week is going to be the Shakeup. It sounds like WWE's like, okay, well, this didn't work this week, so we need to make more adjustments.
Well, so Andrade was moved from SmackDown to Raw and then back to SmackDown.
Yeah.
Some reports say it's because of his relationship with Charlotte. Some reports say it was Fox requesting to have more Latino wrestlers on that show, since that's the one they're getting. Yes.
To boost the demographics for the show, so it'll be higher by the time October hits.
Yes.
And that's a valid reason. It's just, it's weird to me that WWE's essentially taking orders from Fox this far ahead. But it makes sense because Fox, you know, wants a successful show when they get it.
Yes.
That's what they paid for.
Yeah.
Handsomely.
And so I don't know which of those reasonings is the right one.
Right.
Or I guess which, you know, it could be both of them, you know,
yeah,
weighing enough together to be like, okay, let's go ahead and do this.
But you did have a lot of other, like, last minute switches, changes. Cesaro went to Raw this week.
Yeah.
They've split up. Ricochet and Aleister Black, and Aleister Black's having his own weird vignettes where he's just talking.
That's fine. I'm happy enough that they're split up.
Sure, and I'll agree with that. It's just, yeah. And I wonder how long they're going to continue to do this, you know?
I think till October.
Like it might continuously not be... like shifting people from show to show.
It might not be a weekly thing.
Yeah.
But... they are fast moving to the point where, you know, Fox wants the show that they paid for.
Yeah.
And
it comes off as, like, it comes off as frantic and stressed out already. That they're they're doing stuff like this, and it's April.
I find this all completely unsurprising.
Right.
I will say, I mean, Double or Nothing is going to do certain numbers, and they're going to be well. And then AEW is going to announce a weekly show starting at some point.
Likely on a Turner TV channel.
That doesn't even matter. It's just right. They're going to announce a show and a start date, and that's going to send a ripple of panic through it. WWE is run by very reactionary top brass.
Yes.
You can, more often than not, trace a line of something happening on Raw or SmackDown to a direct thing that has happened at some point in the previous week.
Right.
I mean, obviously, a great example of that is, what's the Viking experience called now?
Viking Raiders.
Viking Raiders. It's an immediate, like, this? No? Okay, it's different now.
It's just, they're going to, like, they're just picking and choosing different words from their past, and, yeah.
Well,
it's
like,
going to be war experience.
Okay.
Next.
Like, Viking Raiders is better than Viking Experience, but you didn't have a reason for calling them Viking Experience.
No.
You just put, because you didn't stick to that, because you didn't care about that to begin with, and you turned because of immediate backlash.
That is going to be the albatross around that tag team's neck for the entire time they're going to be on the main roster.
It is. You've really, kind of shot them in the foot on,
yep.
At the starting gate. So, I don't know. There is no point in predicting what's going on. Like, I think you could have easily predicted the main switch is, like, you flip-flop Roman and
AJ.
Sure,
I think the top card is pretty much solidified on the show that they're going to be on.
Yeah.
I think we won't see that shuffle again until we get close, and depending on how desperate WWE gets between now and then.
And it also... It will kind of be a kind of thing of like, okay, they're trying to please Fox without upsetting USA.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's a common trope, but imagine the Three Stooges or Charlie Chaplin or somebody with a hole in the wall with water coming through it on two opposite ends of the room,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to plug both holes at the same time.
With their fingers, yeah.
Right. And then that's the visual metaphor for what WWE is going to be trying to do.
Yeah.
And I don't know when those holes are going to start leaking water.
Yeah.
Like, USA, WWE Raw is still a major show
on their
channel.
And NBC Universal... didn't pay that much less for Raw than Fox did for SmackDown.
Well, they didn't, but I mean, SmackDown or Fox is the new, the new honcho to improve. Like,
yeah,
we know how much shows we know how many eyeballs get on shows on USA.
Yeah,
we know that Raw can fall a bit and still be their number one show.
Well, yeah, like the decades of them. Of that relationship with the channels kind of giving them that leeway.
Right. And I do think that there is leeway where NBC Universal can
say, relationship, yeah.
Well, that they can say, like, hey, you need to get us these guys and boost these numbers, and WWE can have a little bit of like, what are you going to do about it? We're still beating Suits. And so, if we're still number one on your channel, calm it. We have to please, new boss over here over at Fox.
Right.
So it's something to follow, but. Yeah, you will see every announcement between now and October.
Yeah.
Of this is happening, that's happening. We'll have a reaction from WWE.
Surely. Okay, so quick couple housekeeping things before we get into plugs.
Yes.
First off, you might be sitting there like, hey, a new Avengers movie came out this week. Why aren't you guys talking about that? And we will. But as per our usual Classroom Ring Attire policy, where you're going to wait a few weeks.
Yes.
And we will...
You're going to wait till a slow week. Let's just...
Yeah. I mean, we've still got a good ways for Money in the Bank. So there's going to be a slow week between now and then. But we're going to give it a few weeks so everyone has a chance to see it. And then we will give our full, spoiler opinions of it and thoughts. Also, should we go ahead and talk about next week's?
Yes.
Okay. We're going on vacation.
Yes.
Separately, independently.
Separately,
of each
but
other.
Coincidentally.
Yes. It's all happening on the same week. So, we are just going to, not have a show next week. We're going to take a break.
Yes.
So everyone can have a vacation. If you want to email us and tell us about your vacation, you can do so.
If there is a big deal, if this CM Punk, you know, wrestling bug catches and he shows up on Raw,
right?
There'll be something in your podcast feed.
We will throw something together, our thoughts, opinions. It might be something quick, but yeah, if something huge happens, we will do something. But unless any of that else happens or whatever, we're going to take a break next week.
Yes. So enjoy your break. Enjoy Avengers. We will see you guys in 2 weeks.
Yep.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet Mondays, appropriate Sundays, et cetera, et cetera.
And maybe even sporadically during vacation. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that to our email. That's classicringattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast as far as iTunes metrics go.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're talking about.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.